On today's episode of The Breakaway, presented by U.S. Bank, center back Dan Casey. Excited to have him on. We talked for about 20 minutes, a bunch of different stuff. Talked about the season, his last goal, how he dedicated it to his recently deceased granddad, and much, much more. Played rugby a little bit, you can tell in his physicality on the pitch. So we talk about a lot of that and more on today's episode. Of course, coming up tomorrow night, ESPN2. 4 p.m. as the Republic take on San Diego Loyal. Big match. You're going to want to tune in for that again on ESPN2. Will not be on KQCA, My58, or ESPN Plus. Just a reminder, just on ESPN2. And then we're going to touch a little bit on the Academy here that has been playing really, really well at the MLS Next Cup in the Open. So that's coming up on today's episode. But first, this financial timeout is brought to you by U.S. Bank. Today we're talking about identity theft. It's when someone uses your personal information, like your name, address, or social security number, usually for financial benefit. Someone could get a hold of this kind of information in a data breach by stealing your mail or taking your credit card information. You could also click a link or open an attachment embedded in a phishing email and unknowingly install malware on your computer. Someone could even pose as your bank in a phone call. There are many ways your identity could be stolen. Stay tuned for tips on how to prevent it from U.S. Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. Made in the Shade Tent Rentals is your number one choice for tent rentals in Sacramento and throughout Northern California. From concerts and festivals to corporate events, outdoor dining to private special events, construction, manufacturing, or farming, whenever you need shade, whatever the occasion, we've got you covered. Visit madeshade.com to inquire about options. That's made, M-A-D-E, shade.com. Hey, Breakaway fans, shout out to our friends at Suncrest Bank, who not only believe that local matters, they prove it with their support of Sac Republic. When you think about the struggles we've endured over the past year and a half, it's good to know that Suncrest Business Recovery Center is at the backs of local businesses the entire time with PPP, SBA, and agribusiness loans. They're here for the long haul, ensuring our community not only survives, but thrives. Suncrest Bank is where Central Valley turns for personal and business banking needs. Visit any one of their 7 locations or online at suncrestbank.com. You can also call them at 916-830-3560 and speak to a Suncrest business account representative today. That's 916-830-3560. And hey, give us an assist. Tell them Connor Sutton sent you. Go Republic. Go Suncrest Bank, the bank where local matters. An equal housing lender, member FDIC. All right, let's do it. Welcome to The Breakaway, a Sacramento Republic podcast.
My goodness, what a defensive play.
Half the crowd can't even believe it.
Well, one of the things we've known about this club for a while is how important the Academy is, right? I mean, we've talked about it, interviewed various people in the Academy, former Academy players Hayden Sargis, Mara Panagos, and Rafa Jauregui. And I think it's becoming more and more evident, right, how much this means to the club. Republic FC's U17 and U19 headed into the semifinals of the MLX Next playoffs. And it was really, really fun to watch. By the way, the broadcasts I thought were incredible, being able to watch some of the Academy games and being able to see the talent that is going to be coming up to Sacramento here in the next few years, right? I mean, we've had more Academy player minutes the last couple years than we've had in the club's history. So one of the things that's just, it's clear and it's been showing, if you watch the PKs when Sacramento did go into the U19s team that they won on PKs, it was so fun to watch. It was so entertaining, and so many talented, talented players in the Academy. We've seen it come through the ranks, right? But I feel like even it's going to happen more often. There's so much talent in this area, and when you see, you know, U17s and U19s both go to the semifinals against over many MLS Academy teams, it bodes well for the future, not only of the Academy, but the future of this club. And I think that is what is so impressive and so exciting about the talent, not only in this area, but the talent in the Academy. So kudos to the Academy through and through, the coaching staff. And I know it is such a huge, huge part of this club. And it's going to have a huge factor here in the next couple of years. It already is paying off with some of the guys, Rafa Jauregui, Mario Panagos, Hayden Sargis, and much, much more. So I just wanted to give a shout out to the Academy, U19s, U17s, both stepping up, getting to the semis. and playing in some incredibly important games. I mean, the guts of some of these kids were very, very impressive, playing in huge games. A lot of eyes on them, obviously. So good for the academy clubs. Excited to watch them continue to grow. And again, kudos to the players. Kudos to the coaching staff and all involved. It's incredibly exciting. So I just wanted to touch on that, and I know much more will be talked about to them coming up in the next few months, just because of the importance and how vital they have been so far in this club. And they will continue to be. So just wanted to say that before we get to Dan Casey. So let's do it. Let's take a break, and then we'll get to Dan Casey. At Elk Grove Charter School, our students chase their dreams. Student advance at their own pace. EGCS offers flexible schedules, small class sizes, and accelerated learning in a fully accredited learning environment. We help students balance their academic goals while pursuing their passions in club sports, performing arts, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. Elk Grove Charter School is now enrolling. Learn more by going to egcs.egusd.net or give us a call at 916-714-1653. We're confident our students will astound you. All right, Republic FC fans, excited to have this guest on. He's one of the few we haven't had on yet this season, so excited for that. It is center back Dan Casey. Dan, thanks so much for doing this, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. It's a pleasure. Pleasure to do it.
We caught you on a good week, right? Coming off the goal. Talk me through that goal, the first one for you this season.
Yeah, so it was obviously nice, but these goals obviously aren't as... don't mean as much to you if we don't win the game. Right. So, yeah, it was obviously nice, but it's hopefully I can get a few more where we win games. That'd be a lot better.
I know set pieces are kind of the spot where you can come in and thrive a little bit. I know you guys work on that a lot. Is that something that you have like a little bit of pride with, of coming in on some of those crosses, get head on it?
Yeah, for sure, because I don't get myself up that far of the pitch all the time. There might be a time where I do, but it's a great opportunity for us to score from set pieces. I think we're a big physical side, and... Matt, in fairness to him, he puts together great set pieces, and hopefully we can get a few more goals from them this year.
When you guys went down to 10 men on Saturday, and then the teams really seemed like it banded together, and you guys started playing well, playing physical, playing hard, was that something that kind of just flipped on for you guys? What was the change? I mean, it just seemed like after the red card, and I think there was maybe the second goal was given up, the whole team kind of came together, bonded together, and really started playing hard, playing physical.
Yeah, it was obviously great that we did that, but it's frustrating as well, because it's feeling as if sometimes we have to sort of go a man down or go goal down to get going, which we need to sort out as a team. It's frustrating because they were nervous. They were bringing on extra defenders. We were on the go the whole time. It was just frustrating that we couldn't get that from the start. Like, some games obviously takes a few minutes to get into, but we just need to start quicker, and instead of going down a goal down or go a player down, just start like that, because I don't think if we do start like that, teams won't be able to deal with us. So it's up to us, really.
I want to ask you, and you can tell me if we want to cut this or not. I know you did tweet about that goal kind of being for your granddad. Sorry to hear that, but
no, it's okay.
Can you, and I know you kind of had a little moment there where you pointed up, kind of celebrate him and celebrate that goal. What was that like for you to be able to do that?
Yeah, it was nice. On a personal note, it was nice. It was nice for my family. So I actually said it to them, because it was tough last week or so. The funeral was on at 3:30 in the morning, so I had to get up, watch it online. It just was a tough week, and obviously getting the news, not being there for my family, which was tough. And it's not like it's across the water where you can just go home for the funeral. I couldn't have got home with COVID and stuff as well. So it was tough. I knew coming over here, stuff like this could have happened. It was tough, but it was nice, a personal note for my family, and hopefully for him above, looking down on me.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. This next stretch coming up, 4 games in 12 days, you kind of had a similar stretch earlier in the season, this time with more players not being during international duty and things like that, which I'm sure you guys are all thankful for. But how do you prepare for that, the 4 matches in 12 days, from a physicality perspective, or, taking days, there's no real time off?
No, yeah, God, we do a lot of sleeping, I'll tell you that for nothing. But yeah, no, listen, it's part of the game. You see this, it happens in a lot of leagues. It's not ideal, but it's how the games are, and we just sort of have to get on with it. And I feel like it's an important stretch of games for us. We need to get some results, and I think starting now in San Diego, hopefully we can start that off and go on a good run and then go from there, because I think there's a lot more in us and hopefully we can show that.
It feels like the first game of these stretches kind of are so important, because it kind of, you know, puts you on a either bad way or a good way. So does it feel like that from a team perspective or a player perspective, where, hey, we got to make sure we get results on this first match, otherwise it could be bad news?
Yeah, 100%. I think at the minute we're going through a tough patch, so once we get that first result, I think things will change. Like, you see it happening all over football, like one team going through a rough patch, they get a bit of luck and things change. So hopefully we can, you make your own luck in football as well, I feel, but hopefully we get a result and then we can go on a run. It sort of just breaks up the sort of stretch we've been drawing and losing a few games, so hopefully we can go on a run now and put a few results together.
How do you remain confident as a, personally and as a team, you know, through a stretch like this, knowing that, hey, a couple bounces go our way, we're in a much better position, and now we can do that in a good stretch?
It's so early in the season as well. So, but if you beat yourself up too much and you don't, like, I think as a professional footballer, you have to have self-confidence. If you don't, you're in trouble. And as a team, we do have confidence. We see what we can do in training every day. We've played some very good games this year already, so we just need to make it very consistent. Like, you can see what even the second half of the Phoenix game, we put on a very good performance. It's just getting the full 90, which we just haven't figured out right yet, but I think it will come and then we can go from there.
What was it like for you being in front of a full capacity crowd on Saturday? You're the one who gets to kind of celebrate with the goal. What was that moment like for you?
Yeah, that was crazy. Obviously, COVID's hit, so I haven't played in front of a crowd in nearly a year and a half. Right. So it's a long time, and you sort of forget the feeling, because it's just different. It sort of felt like training games sometimes when there's nobody there.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. You get used to that, and then you get thrown into a big atmosphere. It's great. It's what every footballer, you want to play in front of big fans and impress people and do what you can do. But the atmosphere is brilliant.
I want to talk a little about your past. You came up, and we'll talk about this, and I'll kind of go through chronologically. You went through your youth career was with Sunderland, which I don't, maybe a lot of people don't know that, or maybe they do. What was your time like with them in their academy, coming up?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I went over 15, which is quite young.
Right.
So I had to grow up pretty early, pretty quick. I was there for 4 years. They got relegated. It was 50-50 whether I was going to get a new deal. It didn't happen, but I think actually the best thing that did happen to me was going back to Ireland, because I played countless games for the reserves, the under-18s, the 23s. I played all of them, and it's a different environment playing men's football to underage football or like reserve team football. And the fact I got home at 19, I played nearly 100 games in the League of Ireland, which is a very good standard.
Yeah.
It was a blessing in disguise, I think.
Is it something for you where you root for Sunderland?
Yeah, there's no bad blood there. Obviously, I would have loved to stay on, but I have a lot of friends there. There's a lot of good coaches, good people there, very good people there. And I'd always have a look out for the results and hope they do well. They're in a league now where I feel, personally, they shouldn't be in, and the clubs are huge. Like, it's one of the biggest, best fan bases in England, one of the biggest clubs in England. They just need to get back up there, and I think they will. It just, teams go through these stages where they struggle, but I think they'll come good.
Do you watch the Netflix series?
I did. Yeah, you did? Yeah. I knew pretty much everyone
right in
the show anyway. So, I think people didn't know what Sunderland was like, but I did, so I don't think I got as much of a shock. It sort of, so I was used to that. I had to live in that stuff, so it was different.
That's funny. I know you played rugby, which I feel like when I started first talking to Todd and Mark about you, that was one of the first things they said to me. Because last year we talked about wanting this physicality. You come in, you're Mr. Physicality, right?
I played rugby and Gaelic football, rugby and soccer. I played those three all my life. Played them since I was 5 to 15. And then I made a decision where it got to a stage where you have to go down. You can't. If you want to go down the path, you have to stay on one, and I picked soccer, obviously. But I loved Gaelic and rugby. It was sports that I think playing each sport helped me differently in all different aspects. For example, my aggression side comes from rugby, my athletic side comes from Gaelic. It's just, I think you sort of mix and match all of them, and for young kids, I think every kid should do it. It's sort of different sports help in different ways, and it's a great experience I had.
I think that's one of the things that for a while there it was like, makes you have to have your sport and you and Billy White, but I feel like now it's changed where people are more thinking like, hey, you get different things from playing different sports. For, you know, in America, it's not exactly Gaelic football and it's not rugby, it's more basketball, baseball, because you get different things, hand-eye coordination, you get athleticism, footwork. And so it's interesting to hear that from coming from you as well. I wanted to ask about your time playing in Ireland, because I know I was kind of coming back from home for you. What was that like, that first match, you know, being back in Ireland and playing that first match? I'm sure, was your family there?
Yeah, well, it was up the top of the country, so I was thinking my dad and my sister only made the trip up. But there was this sort of, I was back home and I think I took 2 weeks off and then got straight back into it. But there definitely was a, I sort of felt like I had to prove myself again. You sort of, you get it, there's a persona when you come back from England that you didn't make it in Ireland. And it shouldn't be like that, because sometimes it's just the path isn't there and you don't get the breaks that some other people get. I know you make your own luck sometimes as well, but it didn't work out for me. I came back and I definitely had a sort of chip on my shoulder. So I think that helped me, because I wanted to prove the people wrong, and it was good. And then I signed for Bohemians, who got a great manager, great coach, and they really helped me. I think nearly, without sounding disrespectful to Sunderland, I feel that I learned more nearly in the first season with Bohemians than I did over 4 years in England, just because it's men's football, it's different, it's just so different. Obviously you get your technique, you get your tactics from Sunderland, but when you get thrown into the big bad world, it's different.
And I mean, obviously, so you played what? I think it's 3 seasons in Ireland.
I played 3 seasons in Ireland. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So you played for Bohemians. You played Cork City. What was it like transitioning? Because then you ended up going back.
Yeah. It was a weird one, because Cork City, I really enjoyed my time there, but I was signing there because they were the biggest team in the country at the time. So I'm signing there thinking that we were going to go and hopefully push for a league. It sort of didn't work out like that. It was a tough year for everyone. But from tough years, you learn a lot, and I learned a lot that year. It was funny, because I went away from Bowes thinking that I have a better chance of getting a league medal, whatever. Yeah. And Bowes shot off the table, and we sort of shut down. But it was football. It sort of, we had 3 managers that year. It was tough. A lot of changing. And then I felt like it was the right move to go back to Bohemians. They were interested to get me back, and I'd been there before. Things had gone well. Yeah. So, yeah, I went back, and then it sort of, last year was a great year. We came second, we did well in Europe, and it was a good year all around.
For you, I feel like making the transition from England to Ireland is obviously not easy, but I imagine making the transition from Ireland to America is a lot different, right? So what was that process like for you? Why did you come to that decision?
To be honest, it came up one night. My agent got on to me late at night and he said, listen, this opportunity's arose, would you be interested? And I talked to my family, and yeah, I said, listen, I could go try and get back the route to England, go that way again. But I said, listen, it's a different opportunity. It's a great opportunity. These don't come around a lot. I said, if I'm older and I don't take this, I'll be kicking myself. Mm-hmm. So in fairness, my family were very good and they're brilliant like that. They sort of said, listen, go with your gut. And they backed any decision I made. So anyway, yeah, I sort of made it. And coming over here was tough, but because I did it when I was 15, I'm sort of used to it in a way, but the time difference, it's not like it's across the water. I can't just get home for the weekend. So, yeah, it was tough at the start, but I've adapted to it now, and I'm enjoying it.
How are you enjoying the weather? Is it a little hot for you?
No. There was a stage 2-3 weeks ago where it was mid-40s. We say degrees. Yeah,
right.
So, yeah, that was quite hot.
I stayed on.
But no, just because I stay back home, and everyone's like, what are you on about back home? It's been hot for those, but I like the warm weather. It's funny, in Ireland I'll be lying out the back trying to get a suntan. Like, it's just, yeah, it's, when I come over here it's brilliant, but it is hot, it's different. And obviously I can't really be out in the heat as much as I'd like to be, because I'm playing football. I don't want to drain myself, I want to keep my energy. So I'm sitting in the house watching the TV, and like, it's warm. I said I'd love to be out there, but I just can't do it all the time. So like, on my off days I try and get out as much as I can, but it's good.
What are some of the things that surprised you about coming to California?
It was Definitely a lot. Well, it's not that I didn't think it would be professional, but it's very professional. Like, it's a great setup. There's everything's in place. You've got a lot of coaches, the facilities. Everything is very well run. Everything's, like, in place. It's not that I didn't think it'd be like that. It's just I was sort of the unknown a bit. Obviously, because USL League isn't shown around the world like it is in MLS's.
Right.
But, no, I was intrigued. I obviously did a bit of research. I watched some of the games, and the stand is very good. So, no... It's only being positive, really.
What about, you know, food in Sacramento? I know one particular, but I'll let you tell everybody because I know we have something coming up about that soon. What have you been eating around here? Have you been going out to eat now that we can kind of?
Yeah,
that?
It's brilliant. At the start, obviously, you had to stay in, and but now that I'm fully vaccinated and I can sort of go out a bit, I've gone around. It's funny because in Ireland, burrito bars are the new trend and everyone's going and going over there. I loved going out with my mates and going to see these places, and but coming over here, this is the real stuff. Like, yeah. This is, yeah, it tastes better over here, put like that. Yeah, for sure.
Wait, it does?
No, here it does.
It
does? Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know, like, I think in Ireland it's still nice, but it's just, obviously you have Mexicans who live in California who will have got all the flavors of spices, and it gives an extra kick. I like it. And you've got the famous, we all, from watching the TV shows as a kid, you have got your Wow Burger or your Chick-fil-A and all stuff like that, all the big chain restaurants, fast food. But I might treat myself to that once a month, but I can't go there every week. Yeah. But no, it's good. It's been good. I like to sort of go out probably once a week maybe for food, but it's all good.
Do a lot of cooking in, though?
I do. Yeah. I like to cook, so it keeps me busy.
Yeah, what do you make?
I like to meal prep, so what I would do is I'd cook for maybe 2 nights and then cook for another 2 nights, so it's just easier because maybe the next day, if I had a busy day, if I was doing things the next day, I'd cook the day before, have it in the fridge, reheat it, and then it's just easier like that. But it keeps me busy because it's long afternoons when we train early, and it keeps you sort of sane, keeps you busy, really.
Have you been surprised by the level of play in the USL, or even the level of some of the, obviously you play with a couple of the academy guys coming up, and they're playing really well right now in the MLS Next tournament. But have you been surprised by the academies? Been surprised by, what have you been most surprised by?
The academy's brilliant. I've been watching and looking at the lads, and they've been doing great. It speaks credit for the coaching staff. They've all been brilliant, and when they come up and train with us, they're brilliant. It's great that they have this structure in place, because you'll see lads filter through, and it's definitely a bonus because obviously the club's got long-term plans, and you got young lads coming through that are hungry to play. It's only going to be a positive for the club, and it's all ran very well. I think the most thing I've been most impressed with was probably the level of professionalism throughout. It's all, like, in fairness to Jason, when we go on away trips, everything's perfect in place. The coaching, all training sessions are perfect. Tactics are brilliant. Everything's exactly what we want. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. It's a proper training, professional environment. It's brilliant.
Did you watch Euros 2020?
I did, yeah, I've been watching it. It's difficult because we're training at 9 o'clock and a lot of the games are at 9 o'clock. But, because I've got a few WhatsApp groups with my friends, we're slagging each other, saying, oh, if something happens in the game or whatever. So, it's good. It's good.
Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I do want to say I have been just loving watching you play. And I know the fans have been, too. We've been talking about I think you're one of the fan favorites because of just your physicality and your demeanor. And it was exciting and awesome to see you score a goal on Saturday. So congratulations. Good luck this next stretch, which I know I know will be tough. So maybe enjoy a little bit of rest, I guess, while you have tomorrow off. Really. And then it's and then it happens. So congratulations and good luck the rest of the season.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Our thanks to Dan Casey. Our thanks to U.S. Bank for being the presenting partner of this podcast. We thank you for listening. You can catch the Republic back in action tomorrow night, 4 p.m. on ESPN2, taking on San Diego Loyal on the road. And then next week, two home matches for July 7th and then July 10th, two important matches. So get your tickets right now at sacrepublicfc.com/tickets. Please rate, review, and subscribe or follow this podcast wherever you get it. And as always, go Republic!